my picture pretty mama hanging up on the wall. It may be my picture, it won't be your daddy at all.
And we're back. You're listening to Talk at the Table. I'm your host, Andy Morikawa. We're coming to you from the studios of WUVT-FM 90.7 Blacksburg. Our studios are in Squire Student Center on the campus of Virginia Tech. We're here with our guests, Rachel Bodoli and Jenny Schwanke, and we're talking about food and sustainability. And I understand that we have a caller, Mike, from Virginia Tech. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, yes. Well, my question is this. When I go to the dining halls, I always get styrofoam trays, and I was wondering if Virginia Tech has looked into getting more sustainable options like paper-based trays or something along those lines.
That's an excellent question. So, yes, we are still using styrofoam to-go containers currently. And I know some other universities and restaurants have made the switch to compostable to-go materials, which is fantastic. However, we feel very strongly in Virginia Tech Dining that it is not worth making that change if we can't guarantee that the material will be composted. So it's actually pretty detrimental to the environment to send otherwise compostable materials, including food waste, to the landfill. That's why it's so important that we are diverting that material to composting. So when organic material, including the biodegradable / compostable to-go materials, go to the landfill, they actually putrefy. They don't really biodegrade, so you can find 13-year-old hot dogs in the landfill.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So when they putrefy, they release methane, which is a potent greenhouse gas, 72 times more potent than CO2 over a 20-year time span. So it's our goal to make sure we have the proper composting systems in place. We began composting at Virginia Tech in January of 2009 at our central prep facility and warehouse. So all of the pre-consumer waste from there is being composted and has been successfully since January 2009. And we introduced it into our first dining facility and incorporated some post-consumer waste beginning in October 2009. And so we've really been feeling that process out, making sure that our staff is trained properly and that they understand how to compost before we introduce these compostable containers.
Now, who's doing the composting and where does it go? Who collects it?
So our staff is the one who's separating the materials in the back of the house, and it takes a lot of training. And with so many students at Virginia Tech, we haven't yet opened that up to the students to have access to the sorting. And it really does make it easier for them if someone else is doing it. So we've carefully trained our staff about how to compost, what's compostable, what's contamination, and we actually sort it into carts, much like a trash cart, and that's picked up twice per week at each facility by Poplar Manor Enterprises Compost in Reiner, Virginia, so not too far from here, and they're really fabulous to work with. It's a learning process, and they know that. It is for them. It is for us. It's asking us to do things differently than we're used to, so again, changing behavior. And they pick that up. They take it to their land, which is a certified, permitted compost facility.
And that's quite a distinction, is it not? It's not easily secured.
Correct. In Virginia, it takes a lot to have a permitted facility. It's pretty much like becoming permitted to run a landfill. So there's a lot to it, and it's out in the country. And so another distinction is that it would be very different than the backyard compost you might do at your home. We can compost things like those compostable to-go containers, which would take a long time to break down in your backyard compost pile. But we can also compost prepared foods and meats and bones.
And why is that?
It's a commercial facility, so it gets very hot. It's very efficient. It's also out in the country where it's not going to bother anyone. And they're very good at it. So we're able to divert a significant amount of material there from Virginia Tech. They make it into compost. So that process takes several months, I believe almost 9 months. And they just had their first batch. They sell that compost to landscapers, to gardeners.
To the community gardens.
To the community gardens.
And you've used it at the community garden.
We have used it, and it is phenomenal, the crops that are growing out of that. It's just, and it's so exciting to know that our compost had just come from the, at least in a great part, from the Virginia Tech facility.
So you're saying there's compost and there's compost.
Exactly.
It is beautiful stuff. And they have it tested to make sure that all of the levels of pH and different nutrients are there. And not only is it going to the Y and other places, but it's coming back to the dining services garden, which I think is the most beautiful thing. If we want to talk about sustainability, our food waste goes in large part to make their compost, then we were able to get their compost at the garden, which is growing more food, and then the trim waste from that food will go back into the compost. So talk about a closed loop system and sustainability. That's really fantastic.
What do we mean by sustainability? We use the term, we've used it 20 times in the conversation just in the past 45 minutes or so.
Well, I think an easy answer that a lot of people say is preserving our resources in a manner that they will be available to further generations in the same way that we're using them now. I think more nuanced would be looking at economic sustainability, environmental sustainability, and social sustainability. So there's a three-legged stool is a good image for it, I think. And I think particularly when you're talking about agriculture and local food and composting and some of the things we've been talking about, that comes into play, because there's certainly sustaining the culture of agriculture that was important in the New River Valley.
Yes.
And Jenny may know more about that than I do, actually.
Well, only that we used to grow a lot of food here. I think in the 20s and the 30s, the wheat production, the crops that we don't even see in our fields these days, were all being grown right here. And so that sustainable closed system, we've lost a lot of it. So if we could even regain a little of what we used to have, we'd be making some progress. And then to think ahead to those future generations really requires some
planning. And I think self-sufficiency is a big part of it. And so when you're talking about food, a lot of it really comes in at more of a regional level, and we're not quite there yet. So one of the issues we have in dining is that a lot of this stuff is coming in over the summer. And while we're supplying food for our orientation students, which we can talk about in a little bit, you know, there's just a window of time where some of this food is in season. And we can get it to our students. And then come January and February, it's fairly bleak around here. So we need to think about local packing facilities and processing facilities and storage facilities. We've been actively investigating flash freezing and canning at Virginia Tech, and just figuring out how to do that since, again, it's just not what we're used to doing anymore.
Some folks in Floyd, you'd be interested in knowing, are applying for grants to start setting up some produce processing facilities for local farmers and have a farm-to-school program that's just getting off the ground. A group there called Sustain Floyd is taking steps in that direction.
And actually, I, on behalf of Virginia Tech Dining Services, wrote them a letter of support for that grant.
Did
because
you really?
It would
you.
Be huge for us.
Yeah.
I mean, at the institutional level, we really need frozen tomatoes and green beans and things like that in January and February because our students are used to getting that year-round. And also, we just need enough food to feed the students at that time of the year. So that would be huge for us.
You know, that idea that you raised, Jenny, about the renewal of local production reminded me of what folks in eastern Montgomery County are doing. They're having their tomato festival. I think it'll be their second tomato festival this year. And back in the 20s and the 30s, there was a tomato canning facility there and quite a large-scale operation. And Michael Hemphill and a bunch of folks down there are kind of regenerating that kind of capacity locally.
And that's wonderful because without that, for instance, the people raising animals here for food, they're driving enormous distances to have that processed in order to bring it back to the very community. So when you add 2 hours of driving your hogs to the slaughter plant and 2 hours back and then going back a couple weeks later to pick them up, that's just adding a lot of things that aren't sustainable. And so if we could bring that kind of infrastructure back, we would be making good headway.
Jenny, given your experience at the farmers market, and you were a big part of where the farmers market is today, what were some of the lessons that you learned there that you're now applying toward your community gardening work and your work generally in community building?
I think I learned so much from working with the farmers in the farmers market. Mostly it's given me such a commitment and a respect for the farmers, a commitment to hoping that we get more and more farmers and that in the area that we get them back and that we leave enough open space in this community so that we can do that growing. And just such a respect for how much hard work that farming is and that sometimes I hear people complain that, oh, that local produce, it's so expensive, but I could never begrudge someone having worked in community gardens, my own garden. I could never begrudge someone the price of a tomato when you know how much effort has gone into getting it there to the market in such beautiful condition and with such good flavor and nutrients.
We're also familiar with those rock-hard tomatoes that get shipped in from Lord knows where, and they have no resemblance whatsoever to the locally grown tomato that is ripe and
that's so true
and ready to eat. It's just it's quite something. For both of you, as you think about the work that you're doing, what are the next steps that you see? In other words, you're both a part of this new minor at Tech, and I think with that goes in heightened awareness in the broader community, both within Virginia Tech and in the surrounding community, about thinking in this way. It seems to me that what we're about is changing the way we think and changing the way we behave. You're involved in community gardening. You're involved in those efforts for composting at the dining facility. What do you see as next steps?
Well, in dining services, I think one of our big goals is to, like you said, increase awareness amongst the students. I mentioned briefly the orientation meal. And we have a campaign going on for all of our incoming freshmen and their families called Plant the Seed for Sustainability.
Really?
Yes. So they are actually at their orientation meal exposed to the fact that we have a garden. They're eating the harvest from the garden. They're made aware that we are composting. So we're trying to get them as they come in. And so to explain that it's a cultural change on campus, that Hokies eat local food and Hokies compost their food. And that's just what you do here.
Yeah.
So I think if we can do these institutional cultural changes, that will be very helpful to us because, like I said, we do need the support in eating the local food that we offer to let the administration know that it's important to our customers.
What a great form of leadership that the land-grant university can provide. I mean, that's enormous.
I think it is. And you know, it's funny that we weren't doing this before, even before sustainability was such a buzzword and such a up-and-coming concept. A land-grant institution should be doing these things, and that's why it's fantastic that Jenny and I can be a part of this minor, and we are working with the folks at Kentland Farm. I think there's some really fantastic partnerships being formed.
Wonderful. We're going to take a short break and be back with our guests, Rachel Bedoli and Jenny Schwanke, and we'll close out the program looking at sustainability and the community of the future. We'll be right back.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? I'm Andrew Hoffman. I invented the lost cat magnet. Just turn it on and lost cats stick to it. Just listen to one satisfied cat. That's proof. You should invent stuff too. But remember, don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
This is Talk at the Table, and we're here with Rachel Bedoli and Jenny Schwanke, and we're talking about sustainability, local community, and remarking on the tremendous leadership that is being provided by Virginia Tech in moving our community, our the Commonwealth, if you will, toward a more sustainable future. And it's just evidence, again, of what a large institution can do through put quite frankly, as its buying power by essentially putting the values behind how they use their resources.
Yeah.
Quite remarkable.
Yeah, it really is. Not to discount the amazing things that smaller organizations and businesses in the community are doing, but we all think of Virginia Tech as the big 800-pound gorilla. And when we start asking our distributors to make changes, that has a ripple effect for what they provide to the littler institutions and restaurants as well. So I'm very pleased to see the direction we're going, and that at least in dining services, I know firsthand that we really are committed to it. We've made it one of our 7 guiding principles to commit to developing a sustainable dining and food system. So it's nice that there's something in writing, something that we can follow, and we can step back and take a look at our operations and see if there's a way to make improvements over time.
I mean, dining services, we're talking, you said, what, 18,000 students?
On meal plans.
On meal plans.
Something around that. We actually have more off-campus meal plan holders than on-campus, which is different for most universities, since only the on-campus ones are generally required. So it's a huge amount of food that we're talking about. So when we start making those changes, it really can impact the local community.
You bet. For both of you, when we talk about a sustainable community, and how do we measure that? How do we track our progress? And, you know, kind of add to that, if you would, as we close, your sense of what this community would look like if we could say, indeed, we live in a sustainable community.
I don't know if you can ever say it's sustainable. To me, some of the things we're doing are a process that it's going to involve constant reevaluation of our practices, making sure we're not getting complacent with what we're doing. Mm-hmm. But some of the things we talked about with regional processing facilities, regional businesses with a closed loop economy, as far as food goes, sustainable food, I think that's very important. But I don't think in my lifetime we'll be able to say it's 100% sustainable. That's going to take a paradigm shift, really.
What kind of tools are out there to measure sustainability? What are the markers? I don't really know.
Well, there's a lot going on in higher education. I know in the past, the sustainability report card that comes out that measures colleges, and which kind of got us moving towards examining what we're doing, has been an assessment tool. More popular now and more comprehensive, I think, is the Association for the Advancement of Sustainability in Higher Education. They have a STARS program, much like LEED for green building, but there are credits for college and university sustainability, and there are different sections, you know, building, energy, transportation, food, recycling, social engagement, things like that. So there are assessment tools, and what we've been doing in dining is really looking at trying to look at the economic side as well, and seeing with composting where we're saving money on our traditional waste disposal and tracking that over time. And so I think we will see a cost savings or a break-even point over time.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've seen carbon footprint measurements for individuals. Do you think, you know, is there a family sustainability report card?
Oh, that would be nice.
I'd like to see that.
All right. As we draw to a close, I'm wondering, as we think about sustainability and sustainable practices, and coming back to the notion of the individual and what the individual can do to participate, one opportunity might be community gardening.
Absolutely.
And what would somebody need to do to find out more about the community gardening program?
It's easy to find out. There's a website,
okay.
YMCA at Virginia Tech. You just put that in, you'll come right up. You can not only sign up for community garden spots, even for the fall, I suppose.
Is there any eligibility
no.
requirement? Just yeah. anybody who wants to start a garden?
You need to be wanting to garden. Desire
and
is
be
the
a human
only.
Being.
And yeah, we have no pets. I don't think we are allowed to garden as a pet. Also, the other thing you could do is maybe you have some room in your backyard already. That would be great. And you just don't know where to start. And the Open University that the YMCA leads, there are many gardening classes. And also on the website, if you look under the Open University, you'll find there's coming up one on fall gardening, permaculture design, even decorating that backyard with bentwood arbors. All sorts of courses are available for everyone.
And we have a caller. And he'd like to know when the farmers market will open on a daily basis.
Some grand day in the future. Right now it's hard for the farmers to it takes so much preparation to get there for the market day that twice a week is working. But I guess if we ended up with a lot more farmers, then it could go to something where it could be open daily.
Right.
And we had our first on-campus farmers market this past spring that was set up completely by students in my Earth Sustainability class as their action project. So they worked with the vendors, and a handful of them were able to come on campus. And that's something we'd like to see more often. It's a really good campus community collaboration.
And for folks, Rachel, who want to find out more about this new minor and other activities, folks in the community who might want to somehow become involved, who should they contact and how would they do that?
Sure. I believe that the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences will have information about the minor available. If you want to be involved in some of the things that Dining Services is doing, I would encourage you to visit the Farms and Fields Project at Owens Food Court. That's pretty accessible for community members. You could park downtown, walk right there, and really vote with your fork. Show that you support those things. I love that term.
I've had a meal there. It's delicious.
It is quite good, and it will be even better this fall, I believe, with all the new menu testings we're doing. And if you'd like to get involved in service at the garden, we've had a church group come out. We have a governor's school group coming out tomorrow, actually, to do some service. You can just contact me at 231-1139, and I'm sure there are things to do in the garden.
Okay, great. Thanks. And then just in closing, I've had a couple of people tell me that they've got land that they'd like to make available for folks who want to do some community gardening. Is there anybody in particular that they should call or contact?
I would love them to contact the YMCA, or they can email me there at Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at vtymca.org. And it would be great if they could get involved when we do the Sustainability Week Community Gardening Forum on that Wednesday, September 22nd. That would be a nice time to bring everyone together who has an interest and see what the needs and desires are and get them all pulled together.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, thank you both to Rachel Bedoli and Jenny Schwanke for joining us to talk about sustainability, about gardening, about healthful foods, and about a community that we hope in 100 years will be thriving. And with your vision, Jenny, of surrounded by a green belt of community gardens and students who are fully engaged in the process of being a member in a sustainable community in the beautiful New River Valley. Thank you all for joining us. This has been
Talk
at the Table.
Yes, thanks, Andy.
Look forward to having you come back. Next week, we're going to have Gunter Hauk from Spikenard Farms in Floyd in the studio to talk to us about bees and about the crisis facing our food supply in the form of colony collapse disorder. Gunter is an exceptional spokesperson, and I look forward to having him here. So until then, tune in at 2:30 to 3:30 here on WVT-FM 90.7, the Valley's number one radio station, a student-operated, community-supported. Visit us at our blog, Talk at the Table, or at our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/talkatthetable. Until next week, keep talking community.
You're listening to WUVT FM Blacksburg. I am pre-recording the show, so feel free to listen until 5, but please don't call in. I will not answer. You're about to listen to Captain Beefheart, and after that, Beach House. After that, Harlem. Again, you guys are listening to WUVT FM Blacksburg.
Back kitchen. Batching coming. Batching coming.
You are coming home. Are you still alone? Are you not the same as you used to be? played himself. Didn't need me to give him hell. He could be cool and cruel to you. And me knew we put up with it. I wanna give him pain. I'm a Roman candle. My head is full of flames. I'm a lucid man. A lucid. Fall asleep. I wanna hurt him. I wanna give him pain. I'm a Roman candle. My head is full of flames. I wanna hurt him. I wanna hurt him. I wanna hurt him. I want to give in pain.
Some thoughts from John Cleese.
Ah, yes, the meaning of life. Well, as one who has often pondered this question, let me help. The answer is twofold. Yes, there is life, and yes, it does have a meaning. Okay? Oh, too general? You want more specifics? Well, I know just who can help. There is a philosopher near you. Talk to her or him at your local college or university.
A message from the Philosophers of America, celebrating 100 years of thought.
You were just listening to Elliot Smith. Before that was Harlem. If you're just tuning in, this show is pre-recorded, so please don't call in. I am in Rhode Island for the weekend. Again, you guys are listening to WUVT FM Blacksburg. Up next is Serena Manish. After that, Blue Sky Black Death. And after that is Lettuce.